Thursday Night Tailgate, where the spotlight is always on the positive. Tune in Thursday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time to hear your favorite NFL legends, players, and coaches sharing their stories. Now back to Chris and Bob.
I wouldn't joke about anything else that happened to you tonight.
All right, and now back with us here on Thursday Night Tailgate is former Pro Bowl quarterback Chris Miller. Let me remind you about Chris's background. He's from Pomona, California, which is right there in L.A. County. Played his high school football at Eugene Sheldon High in Eugene, Oregon, and went on to play his college ball at the University of Oregon, where he remains sixth on their all-time passing yards list and eighth in touchdown passes. In 1999, he was inducted into the University of Oregon Athletics Hall of Fame. And in 2005, he was inducted into the State of Oregon Sports Hall of Fame. He's a first-round draft pick, the 13th overall selection in 1987 by the Atlanta Falcons. Played in the NFL from 87 to 99 for the Falcons, Rams, and Broncos. Was named to the Pro Bowl in 1991. And over the course of his career, he threw for just over 19,000 yards and 123 touchdowns. He was a part of our guest Hall of Fame induction class back in September. He's now the offensive coordinator for the Houston Roughnecks in the XFL, and they're set to kick off their season Saturday at 5 o'clock Eastern Time against the LA Wildcats, and we're thrilled that he's taking some time out of his night to come back and be a part of the show. Hey, Chris and Bob, thanks for joining us.
Hey, Chris. Man, you need to take a big breath after that introduction. Thank you guys so much. That's awfully kind of yourself. And do you guys need like throat lozenges or something after you do all these interviews? You guys are awesome. You're awesome. I'm so impressed.
We appreciate you, Chris. So, Chris, let's talk about what you got coming up, right? You've got your first game this Saturday evening. Talk about what's been going on with the XFL and how you guys have been prepping for game number one.
Man, we are so excited to play another team. I think we've got about 7 weeks under our belts of working against ourselves, you know, so we're all a little bit anxiety ridden and a little bit edgy and irritated. And so it's been a long time coming. You know, we've put a lot of great preparation time in and time in the classroom and two-a-day practices, which aren't really two-a-days anymore, but you have one actual practice and one kind of a jog through or whatever. So it's been fun. It's been a fun process. Coach June Jones, our head coach, has done a great job with the team, building some family atmosphere and camaraderie in a really conducive environment to be successful. And, you know, we've got a lot of great players who have had NFL experience and are hungry just to get back to playing the game. And kind of the mantra of the XFL is for the love of football. And really, that's why I'm coaching in this league. And a lot of these players are playing in it, because we just love the game and look forward to bringing the country something new and another brand of football for us football junkies after Super Bowl Sunday just wrapped up. So it's been going really well.
So, Chris, talk about your team. Who are some of the players that fans should get excited about getting to see on Saturday?
Well, P.J. Walker is going to start at quarterback for us. He was with the Indianapolis Colts for a couple of years on their practice squad. Played at Temple, about 5'11", 200-something pounds, but a dual-threat athlete, very athletic, has great arm talent, you know, can really run and make all the throws that we require in our offense. Connor Cook is his backup, who played at Michigan State and played in the NFL for a couple, two, 3 years with the Oakland Raiders. And Sammy Coates, one of our wide receivers, played for 3+ years in the National Football League, had a pretty productive year with the Pittsburgh Steelers one season, but then he kind of fell on some injuries and such. So Cam Phillips, one of our wideouts, very talented. Both our running backs have played in the NFL, have been on NFL rosters of late. They're extremely talented guys. And, you know, we've got a lot of NFL guys who have been on our defensive side of the ball playing for us, who've been on futures contracts or practice squads or one of our Tony Ely, I think one of our defensive linemen, played in the Super Bowl with the Carolina Panthers in their last Super Bowl. So, you know, we've got a lot of talent on the field. A lot of these guys just need experience. They need an opportunity. They need to get some film. And when our season's done, I think you'll see a lot of our players fill out the back end of the NFL rosters after the NFL draft. So it's exciting. And I think fans will learn a lot of new names and be excited about the product that we put on the field Saturday.
And Chris, as you know, I'm a big Steelers fan, and I'm familiar with Sammy Coates. He was a guy that we as fans were pretty high on, and as you mentioned, he dealt with some injuries. I think he had some some wrist and some hand problems that, kept cropping up and hurt him. But what are you seeing from Coates?
Well, he's got physical presence. First of all, he's about 6'3", 220, 222, somewhere in there. So he's a guy, the Michael Irvin type, in terms of a guy that you have to have a good matchup on as a corner. You have to help with somebody over the top on him. So, he provides, got a great catch radius. PJ can kind of throw the ball somewhere around him and he's going to catch it. He's a good route runner. What I really enjoy about him, he's got a great personality. He's very thankful and grateful and appreciative for this opportunity. And I said, man, Sammy, I can't wait to watch you play. I told him today, I can't wait to watch you play Saturday. I said, what are you most excited for? He says, you know what, coach? He says, I'm just going to go out and have fun. I'm just excited to go out and have fun and play. And I think he was probably grinding in the NFL with the injuries, trying to get back, and he got cut. So he brings a lot of juice to the offense, and he's kind of one of our vocal leaders and has a great personality, very flamboyant.
And, Chris, you talk about, seeing these kids potentially filling out the back end of rosters in the NFL. Is that the goal? Is it really not maybe this time around with the XFL not to compete against the NFL, but to go through player development and get these guys and get more film for these guys to have an opportunity to make it to the NFL and fill out those rosters? Is that really what we're trying to do here in the XFL?
Yeah, I think exactly. I think Vince McMahon's take two, if you will, or second cut, if you will, is really just pure football, professional football on a professional level, providing spring content to television networks, to fans, because there's kind of a lull in the spring for television content and sports. And then you got these guys, there's a lot of talented football players out there that just haven't been able to stick on an NFL team for whatever reason, whether they haven't got enough work during OTAs, whether they didn't get to show enough during preseason games, or whether they just need to be developed more. And that's one thing I think we'll do a really good job of. From an offensive standpoint, is the wide receivers we have are going to be in a pro style offense and get some great exposure. And we've got some guys, and we've got some old linemen that have been in the NFL that can still play there. I know we'll have a few of those guys get back and some defensive guys. So yeah, really it's a developmental deal, but it's for the love of the game. It's for the love of football. It's another opportunity for fans to come out and get to know some of the guys who aren't, national level faces right now that maybe will be in the future.
Bob, questions for Chris?
Hey, Chris, it's always a pleasure to speak with you. And you are the man
to talk to
about, my pleasure. But as far as the quarterback play in the Super Bowl last Sunday, Chris and I talked about, kind of went the way we thought. But I wanted to get your input on the performances of Garoppolo and Mahomes. Anything surprise you, Chris?
Well, I thought they both played well. They faced some adversity during the game. They had some turnovers and such, but I was really proud of how Patrick, his mentality is, hey, we just keep moving forward. We just keep working. We're grinding. And in the last 6 minutes, they scored 21 points. So they know they have that capability. And San Fran was putting a lot of pressure in the front four, and the front five and six were getting to him. And, the timing was off and they weren't flowing and hitting on all cylinders. But then, boom, they got that 3rd and 15, big play to Hill, gained 40-some yards, and they got that interference penalty in the end zone, which put them on the one, and next thing they're rattling off 21. Now, Garoppolo only threw, I think the previous game, he was 6 for 8, so he only threw like 8 times, and maybe a total of 19 times or something in the first 2 playoff games. So, he had some things to prove going out there and being productive, and I think he threw for 280-something, somewhere thereabouts, or threw it more, and I thought he made some really good throws and got in a good rhythm at times. And then I think they may have got out of their game a little bit. I'm sure they probably wish they ran the ball a little bit later and milked the clock a little bit and played some possession football and maybe limited possessions for Kansas City. But I thought both quarterbacks played well against good, tough physical defenses.
And, Chris, it seems that these days, well, in the Super Bowl anyway, you had a guy like George Kittle and Travis Kelce playing. Those are two all-world tight ends, didn't really have great days there, but obviously talents like that got them to this big game. Talk to us about how important you think tight ends are, at least in the NFL these days, and is it pretty much a staple for winning now?
Well, I think they're real important. Kelce had like 5 grabs, maybe for 60 some yards and a touchdown. Kittle, I don't think got off that much. I don't think he had a real productive day, and I'm sure that was one of Kansas City's main points, was to try to take him away and eliminate him, because he had been one of the big play guys for them all season long, you know. And I know the one receiver, number 19, I can't pull his name right now for San Fran, but he had a big game. He was tough and physical and ran some of those reverses and was very productive for them. But I think tight ends just create mismatches. You get them up against safeties, you extend them in the formation out wide, and you get them against corners, so you have some physicality mismatches. But they have such a good feel. Both those guys have a really good feel for getting open in space, and I think the schemes that their coaches are putting them in afford them to do that. They're very athletic. They're big bodies with great hands. Very graceful tight ends, and I know they both block pretty well at the point too. So they're two skill set tight ends, not just slot receiving type tight ends. So, but it does create mismatches. Then when you get them in man to man coverage, generally the guy guarding them is smaller. So they have an advantage for the quarterback to locate the football and have that physical body presence type catch. But I think, you know, good quality tight ends in the National Football League are like left-handed pitchers in baseball. They're very, very important, and it's hard to find good ones nowadays, especially in the college game, the way the college game's getting to be a little bit more up-tempo, 4 wide.
And Chris, kind of getting back to what you're doing now here with the XFL, and you mentioned June Jones is your head coach down there in Houston. You guys know each other well from your time here in Atlanta, and certainly June is famous for running the run and shoot. So should we expect a lot of balls in the air, you know, with your offense going 5 wide and that sort of thing, or is he going to try to balance things out a little bit more?
Well, we might do a little 5 wide from time to time. We have that personnel package, but, you know, the run and shoot, mainly is known for its 4 wide, you know, vertical passing game. And I think under the umbrella of the run and shoot, June spent probably 7 or 8 years with Bill Walsh. Bill Walsh would come out and visit him when June was in Hawaii. And so there's some West Coast principles that are integrated in the run and shoot. There are some levels concepts and layers concepts. So really, you know, football is a thieves league. And I think whether you're on the one back offense or the West Coast or the run and shoot or the air raid, whatever it might be, you're always kind of taking schemes and things you like from other teams and kind of integrating them into your system. So since I played in the run and shoot, it has evolved greatly. But we will be an aggressive offense. The ball will be in the air. But we also have the ability, with the 3 good running backs we have and a very good offensive line, we think we'll be successful running the ball as well.
Chris, the XFL has got some different rules, some things that, innovative, try some things here and there. I mean, there's not going to be a kicking extra point. There's going to be, you know, going for 2 or 3 from the 10-yard line kickoff. Much different.
Yeah.
I like the idea that they've come up with the kickoffs that can help limit the collisions and the injuries associated with that. Talk about some of the rule innovations that you're excited to see how they work.
Well, I think the point after touchdown, the no PAT field goal or no PATs will be very interesting, because you can go for 1 point from the 2-yard line, 2 points from the 5-yard line, or 3 points from the 10-yard line. So you could theoretically be down 18 points in the fourth quarter, which would normally be 3 scores in another game. And in our game, you could score and go for 3 and get it, and then score again and go for 3 and tie it up. So it's very, very unique. The percentages are going to be a challenge scoring from the 10. But it brings a whole lot of new strategy into the game. The coaches are going to have to figure out, okay, when do you go for 1, when do you go for 2, you know, when do you go for 3. So that's pretty interesting. It'll be fun for the fans. The overtime deal will be kind of like a soccer shootout or a hockey shootout, where if you go to overtime, each team will have 5 tries and you'll rotate. You'll do 1 on O, then 1 on D, and you rotate. And so it'll be kind of a shootout type overtime, which I think will be really exciting for the fans. It won't drag on so long. And I know there are some challenges in the NFL they have with possession challenges. And if you score a touchdown, you win, but you don't get to touch the ball with the other team in some of those. I think the kickoff will be interesting for the fans. It'll have a little different visual look, but the kicker will kick off from the 30 And then the return team and the kickoff team will be on the other opposite end on the 30-35 where they don't get that running start and get those violent hits and collisions. But it will still be an exciting facet because I think probably 70 to 80% of the kickoffs in the NFL are all touchbacks. So that play's really become kind of mute in the NFL. But it'll be exciting in our league because it's a penalty, actually, if you kick it in the end zone. So those are about three or four variations that I think the fans will enjoy.
Yeah, so, Chris, as you enter your first year in the XFL and everything starts to get back on, we know Vince McMahon has put in about $500 million. He said the other day that he expects to lose a little over $300 million in the first couple of years. So is everybody sort of week to week with this thing? We're hoping to get through a year. We'll see how it goes. How much should everyone bank on that this is going to be around for several years, or should we all just sort of we'll take it week to week and see what we get?
Yeah, well, number one, I give Vince a lot of kudos. He met with the head coaches in this league and said, hey, boys, don't worry about this thing going out of flavor here soon. This is going to be around as long as I'm alive. If it's 10 years, we'll be around that long. So, you know, his goal is to leave a legacy. Obviously, he's left it in the wrestling world, and he wants to leave it in the football world, too. He loves the game of football. He's devoted a lot of his resources and money to this. I think hiring Oliver Luck has been a gem. Oliver is fantastic. He ran NFL Europe over there. That ran 17 years, and Oliver ran it for 10 years. So Oliver has done a great job. They've been very tedious and meticulous about how they've structured it and how it's organized. They have contracts with three TV networks that are paying them to cover the XFL games for the XFL content. Whereas the AAF, that just went defunct after eight games, was paying the networks to cover their games. So the XFL has spent a lot of time in this reboot, and I think they've done a fantastic job with it. I think the infrastructure is good, the marketing, the television partners. I think the fan base will slowly grow as they gain confidence this thing's going to be around for a while. And it's needed. You know, there's a lot of great football players out there and coaches, and the developmental aspect, I think, will be really important for the NFL. So I anticipate it being around. I think sustainability is critical, and I think that's where Vince McMahon and Oliver Luck's focus has been. So I think it'll be successful, but yet we got to earn the fan base's confidence, which I think we will.
And to that point, what are you hearing around the city of Houston? How much are people, you know, started to get excited about the team and coming out and seeing the first game? What are you hearing around the city?
Well, I think first off, I think the XFL did a nice job of kind of doing a soft opening, you know, not impeding upon the Super Bowl week or the lead up to the Super Bowl or the NFL season. I think they understand where their market niche is. But now they're kind of fast tracking it. You know, you saw a commercial on the Super Bowl about the XFL on Fox. There's actually XFL Houston sightings on buses now out here. There's a lot more things in the media. My good friend Sean Salisbury is talking about it on his podcast and his radio show. So I think word of mouth is getting out. I think St. Louis and Seattle are 1 and 2 in preseason ticket sales. I think we're third. We're expecting somewhere around 15 to 20,000 fans, I would think, for our opener. We may get more. I know Seattle and St. Louis, which are great football towns and sports crazy towns, are expecting somewhere around 20. So, but again, people, you know, need to gain confidence that, hey, we are going to be around for a while. And I think people will come out and, you know, I mean, tickets only cost $25. So you can bring a family of four and pay $100. And get some great entertainment for 3 hours on a Saturday or Sunday. So I think momentum will slowly gain, but I think people are starting to get excited about it. And once they see it on television this Saturday and Sunday, and they may go see it in person, I think, you know, a lot of folks will dig it and want to get behind it.
Bob, one more for Chris.
Yeah, Chris, and it seems like every time we speak, the term run and shoot comes up, and maybe for some of our younger listeners out there or people that aren't that familiar with the system, talk about maybe its history, how you incorporated back in the day, and the difference between then and now, the run and shoot.
Well, I think it stems from the old West, you know, when somebody had a gun and they threatened somebody and that cat would run and the other guy would shoot. I think that might be where Mouse Davis maybe got the terms from, but no, in all seriousness, really the run and shoot is just a term for an aggressive offense that's a vertical passing game that gets downfield. There's a run game involved in it as well. But really, you know, when I quantify the run and shoot, I think about Jim Kelly with the Memphis team in the USFL back in the day. And then when he was up in Buffalo, they ran some of that up there. Then Warren Moon with the Houston Oilers back in the day was a run and shoot quarterback. And Barry Sanders was a run and shoot running back for the Detroit Lions. And those are guys that I kind of correlate to the run and shoot. But really, it's just you know, it's just kind of the, we call it the red gun offense when I was with Jerry Glanville and June Jones in Atlanta. It's just really a term for an aggressive offense. We're getting vertical. It's exciting. We got passing game going, but yet we can have a NFL Hall of Famer like Barry Sanders in the backfield running the ball. So similar term to maybe a West Coast or the air raid or whatever. It's just kind of a cool term. I think Mouse Davis must have come back up in its origins back in the 70s probably.
Chris, before we let you go, remind our listeners how they can stay up to date with what you're doing and the Roughnecks and all of that, whether it's online or it's on social media.
Well, I'm not a big social media guy, but I think my Twitter handle is Chris Miller QB, Chris Miller QB, and I am not a big active tweeter, but I'll get a little bit more active probably during our season. And then you can keep track of me this year just with the XFL Roughnecks. They do a lot of great things with social media, our organization. I believe it's XFL Roughnecks, HoustonRoughnecks.com or whatever it is. And we'll be on Fox television. Like you mentioned, we'll be at 5 Eastern, 4 Houston time and 2 out in the Pacific Northwest, my hometown. But that's how you can keep in touch with me. I'm just joined the cabinet campaign for the YMCA out in Oregon. So we're doing some big fundraising out there for the YMCA. And I'm involved in that, but other than that, I'm a big proponent and follower of high school football and high school athletics, and that's kind of what I'll be doing with my, and seeing where Justin Herbert, my Oregon quarterback I've known since he was a fourth grader, goes in April. Those will be my interests over the next 3 months.
Well, Chris, we can't thank you enough for taking time out of your busy schedule to come back and be a part of the show. It's always a huge thrill for Bob and I to get to spend some time with you. Thanks for being here. We hope you come back and do it again soon.
Certainly, guys. Thanks for having me. And again, it's a great honor to be in your Hall of Fame. You guys do a tremendous job. Keep up the great work.
Thank you, Chris. Yeah, good luck this Saturday. Good luck to you guys for the rest of the season. We'll catch up soon. All the best to you and your family, Chris.
Sounds great. Thank you guys very much.
Good night.
That's a great Chris Miller. I tell you, Bob, I've said to Chris off air and you know as well. I mean, I've got my Houston Roughnecks hat on as we speak and trying, you know, support of Chris and the team, and looking forward to watching the game, you know, Saturday afternoon, 5 o'clock Eastern time. That, you know, I think they're going to be a very entertaining team to watch. I'm very interested in some of these, you know, sort of rule offshoots, if you will, that they've got going on. And the kickoff one was one I just learned about as I was looking through Bob, their website and really checking out all the different things that they're going to be doing. But I think it's a great idea, right? You know, you got the kicker back at the 30-yard line. You've got one team at the 35, another team at the 25, and the kickoff team can't start to run try to make the tackle and whatnot until the guy catches the ball. So that gets rid of some of these really bad, you know, collisions that these guys get, these sprinting starts and bodies flying around left and right. I think that's going to be a great addition. And then the opportunity, like Chris said, you can go for 1, 2, or 3 on the point after. So a lot of really good things. There's a whole lot more that they're doing differently. And I encourage everyone to go out on XFL.com to check it out. But I think it's going to be great stuff, Bob. I think they got a shot.
I hope so, Chris. And as Chris Miller brought up, as far as the affordability, or at least right now, it's family entertainment. They're going to go a little bit away from the whole wrestling theme and everything. It's going to be more for the football fan, but I'm sure there'll be a lot for kids also. But I just think Chris Miller, as we were interviewing him again, Chris, there's a reason why he's in our Hall of Fame. He's such a good analyzer of the game and a perfect run and shoot type ex-quarterback for this league. You know, it's going to be quick hitting and things like that. Miller's got a great offensive mind, but such a great, great guest, Chris, for all the insight he gives us, and that's why he's one of our Hall of Famers.
That's exactly right. What a great guy.
All right. Hang with us on the other side of this real quick station break. Bob and I will be back. We'll be turning on our Thursday night tailgate spotlight on the positive. Here are two more great stories about guys out there making a positive impact in their communities.